Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to purdyinsurance.com. I am comfortably ensconced in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And don't forget the Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. Joined today by Kevin Herr, who's back on the show, bigger and better than ever.
I'm not sure what that means. I did put on a few pounds over the holiday. Is that what you're referring to?
Nobody noticed. All right.
By the way, I did answer to the question, the Allentown Central Catholic running back that I was struggling to find the name, Colin McDermott.
He speaks highly of you.
I'm sorry that I didn't. And I've averages like 7 yards a carry this year. It's just amazing.
So it sounds like the Seals will have to get that rugged defense out on the field and put a dent in that average.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's going to be. Look, at this point of the whole thing, okay, it's going to be a tough football game. You want to know why? Because at this point, it should be a tough football game.
There's only 8 teams left in each level of the PIAA vying for that final spot, the championship.
Exactly. I mean, and it should be a tough football game. I mean, it's just simple as that. Should be a tough football game. And
I think,
go ahead, guys.
I was going to say, I don't think at the beginning of football season in mid-August anyone would have anticipated that the Danville Ironmen, loaded with underclassmen, 19 out of 22, and Selins Grove coming from a 1-9 season or a pretty bad season last year because of some off-field issues, would end up being in their respective divisions in the top 8 in the state.
Right, exactly. And they put themselves in a great spot. And I think it's great that they have put themselves in this spot. And guess what? Now they put themselves in a spot where you can win it.
3 games away.
Right.
A friend of mine sent me a text, said, university prep with some turnover issues, the Steelers with turnover issues this weekend. It must be in the water out there.
Could be.
Possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, could very well be.
Steve, the one word I wanted to mention, as you described the journey of Sam Ficken this year, this crossed my mind as I was listening to you wrap up the show as I was leaving Beaver Stadium. The word came to mind, redemption.
Yeah, I mean, redemption, a lot of things that he was able to do. Look, Robbie Gold's a big reason for all this. I mean, let's not forget that Robbie Gold had a lot to do with getting Sam Ficken to be far more consistent, to be a better kicker, better player all the way through. And the reason he was able to do that was that he was able to, change his plant foot. Which was a big deal, and it shows you a lot about Robbie Gold.
Well, people forget about Robbie Gold in that famous 6-4 loss to Iowa. He missed a critical one there, and here he is in the Chicago Bears. He's the 5th most accurate kicker in the history of the NFL. I think this is his 9th season.
Right.
He is closing in on becoming the all-time leading scorer for in the storied history of the Chicago Bears.
And they love him.
They love him out there. He has gone 8 seasons without missing an extra point.
That's amazing.
I saw the only extra point that he missed in his pro career. It was at Pittsburgh. It was a blizzard. He could not see the goalpost he was kicking into, and to this day, he's not sure where it went, but it didn't go between the goalposts. And that's the only one he's missed. He's up to about 272 for 273 attempts.
Right.
And
it's amazing what he's done.
And, you know, at Penn State, his I think his kicking accuracy was somewhere around 65%.
Yeah.
So, and I know that Robbie did have a few insightful pointers for Sam Ficken, but Sam came out.
It made a big difference.
You know, Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week. Just a great story. And it strikes me, Steve, as being kind of symbolic of the Penn State football program from September to late November.
Right. It does. He did, to his credit, did a great job.
He looked confident out on the field for some reason. You know, just he looked
he
like
should have been.
He looked like in that overtime, when he went out there, and then Wisconsin called their one overtime timeout, I believe, to ice him.
Yeah.
Guess what? He just kept warming up, and boom, there it went.
Yeah. No, he had. And he was calm as could be. And he snuck it inside the upright, which is fine. But there's a reason why it's 18 yards, 6 inches wide anyway.
Exactly.
All right, that's my point. It's,
they don't measure it as long as it goes through.
Right, exactly. So that's, you know, that's I'm thrilled for him. I think that when you look at everything he's accomplished, I think he's done a remarkable job. And, you know, and Penn State's lucky they have this kid for two more years. Great student in the classroom. I want to get to the replay for a moment.
Yeah, please do, because
everybody is
boy.
So up in arms about this. This is one where the fans are wrong and the officials end up being right. It just took too long. Okay, when Jack and I first looked at it, in all fairness, we too thought, well, that's a catch. Okay? It's a catch. And so we looked at it and went, okay, that's a catch. And we're done. Because we looked, what's the first thing we looked at?
The feet. Yep.
Looked at the feet. Well, okay. So we see it from the angle on our side of the field. And when you look at the feet, it is a catch. Then they show the angle from the other side of the field. And again, we're looking at the feet because we assume he's caught the ball. And again, you look at that. Okay. Then they showed it from the west side again, the same thing. It's a catch. So we're like, it's a touchdown. But then the fourth time we saw it was on the east side. That second time we saw that angle. And all of a sudden, instead of looking at the feet, we decided the two of us wanted to see whether he went through and made the catch. And he didn't. What happened was is that when he caught the ball, he grabbed it, and then he brought it into his chest, and the ball popped out momentarily. And he had to grab it and then basically re-catch it. Well, in the process of doing that, his feet slid out of bounds. His front foot got to the chalk. And was the first foot down and not the second foot down. That's why it's not a catch.
And I think you nailed it, that the length of time that the officials took was just traumatic for everyone on both sides of the field.
It was brutal.
And, you know, the fans at Penn State really let the officials know it. I was seated on the press box side, right where the gentleman who calls the timeouts walks out onto the field. So the officials came down to him, and boy, did the Beaver Stadium fans let the officials know. And I think it was the length of time they just delayed the call.
No question.
Oh, man. But that was a good questionable call. And, you know, we didn't bring our replay machine with us in the stands.
Well, what they should do, though, is this, Bob, okay? Okay, they should do what the NFL's doing now. They should allow replays in the stadium to be seen by everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Is there a rule that prohibits that?
Yeah, there's a rule in college football, yeah. You can't do it. Can't do it. Anything that's even questionable, they're not even supposed to show. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should do what they're doing in the NFL now. And this is the first year the NFL's done it, okay? And that is let the people see what everybody sees at home. That way, I think it causes fewer problems. Now, I don't know if they're worried that they're going to sit there and the fans are going to, yeah.
Well, they wouldn't be any worse than where it was on Saturday.
I know, but I'm just I'm looking at this thing, and I'm just saying that the fans, all right, if you show them what's going on, it gives them a better feel for what's going on. And that's what they have to. That way, I think it causes fewer problems in the end, that fans can then see what the replay official is looking at.
And everybody at home.
Right, and everybody at home, but also what the replay officials do. So then they sit back and they go, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's what you're looking for. And I think it would cause fewer problems for the officials, you know, that booth's closed anyway. They can't hear you up there. Okay? They can't. That booth is closed. So you can yell and scream all sorts of unsightly things like Kevin does, and then, and then go from there.
Well, they're afraid they're going to have the same problem the NFL does right now. More people staying at home to watch the games than going to the games. That's what the NFL complains about with all the replays and stuff that are available on television and Red Zone as opposed to in the stadium. Maybe that's what they're worried about. People won't go to the game anymore.
I don't think that, to me, just show it. Okay, football attendance is down across the board. That's why ESPN did that nauseating thing Saturday night, Sunday morning. Where, you know, Penn State has this great win. The seniors got an emotional send-off. The headline says, attendance down at Beaver Stadium. Well, excuse me, attendance was down at 55 stadiums across the country. They averaged 95,000 people here, for crying out loud.
On a Thanksgiving weekend when the overwhelming majority of the student body was sitting in front of their TV sets at home.
But Bob, here's the other part that I want everyone to remember, all right? What's the one thing ESPN hates?
Well,
competition.
Okay? Oh, they want the monopoly.
Hey, competition. What is the Big Ten Network?
Certainly is an alternative view of things, that's for sure.
Well, it's at least when it comes to the Big Ten, they cover all things Big Ten. Tonight, for example, they're going to have the Big Ten ballot released tonight. And, and so forth. They're in 90 million homes, okay? ESPN doesn't like the fact that they're in 90 million homes. They don't like it. Okay, it's not their bag. It's not what they like. They don't want to see that in 90 million homes. Okay,
no.
they want to be the ones in every single home and have it be the only one you watch, right? Which is, I'm just telling you, their view of the Big Ten, which includes Penn State, is their competition.
Yeah, let's put down the opponent whenever and wherever we can, and forget about the student athletes and all of that. But I think the tail has turned at Penn State in the sense of I don't think people at Penn State, meaning the fan base, really cares what ESPN thinks anymore because we already know. If there's a negative to a story that they could find, they'll play it.
Right. Well, they're doing it, that's for sure. I mean, it's...
You know, the neat thing...
But no question about it. But I'm just saying that's just something to just keep in mind now in this era of competition. You know, this show doesn't have any, but that's okay.
Well, that's why they downplayed the whole Rutgers-Maryland joining the Big Ten as well, because that's getting close to Bristol, Connecticut.
Right. And now we'll see what they... And they also have the ACC contract.
So they're not liking that either.
No, and that's a big issue. I mean, they have the ACC contract. They're the ones that negotiated that contract with the ACC, which is the Maryland part, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big concern for them.
Steve, one of the big things on Saturday that I think caught the fan base, not surprised, but pleased, was the number 42 on all the helmets. And the fact that a certain linebacker...
That was Jordan Hill's idea.
Yeah, and a certain linebacker wore number 42 out on the field.
Yeah, Gerald Hodges.
Did that confuse you guys in the press box by any chance?
No. No, we don't get confused.
But that when
you know,
when
did, boy.
When the Penn State what? Team came out with those numbers on. And,
what, you didn't think I didn't know about it?
No, yeah. I didn't say that. I was just commenting on the we don't get confused part.
Well, the reason we don't get confused is because I go. I mean, you know, when you go to practice all the time, you're not surprised he's wearing 42, and you're not surprised they have stuff on the helmets. The kids tell you what they're going to do.
That's a good point.
Okay, so you don't sit there and go, check that out.
Look what they did.
Look at this.
Yeah, son of a gun.
What a surprise. Yeah. But I thought that was a class act by the by the team.
Some people thought it was overkill. Some people thought it was overkill. You know, somebody said, look, he's not dead. You know, and of course, one way or the other didn't matter to me. If they put it on there, great. If they didn't put it on there, great. You know, whatever. It's whatever they want to do. It's their team. It's,
yeah.
That's what I was going to say. It's a player's choice. And if the players have made that decision to do that, whether it's just on the helmet or whether wearing his jersey or whatever, that shows you how much of an impact he is, not on that team as on the field, but the emotional impact and the leader that he's become as well.
No question. I mean, it's done. It was his locker room, okay? It was his locker room. And that's something, you know, that a lot of people have to realize, that it's his baby. And there are certain people that are such leaders where it's their baby.
Steve, I have a quick question, though, regarding something I saw that I didn't notice all year long, and it may have just been because the camera was on him a lot. He was wearing a headset calling in defensive signals. Does Penn State normally have players calling in defensive signals, or was that just unique to this particular game?
No, Jamie Van Fleet usually does it.
Because I was going to say, it's probably because the camera was on him the entire game is why I noticed it. But
right. It's... it happens to be that they've done that all year. Jamie Van Fleet and Evan Hales. You know, one's the real one, one's not, you know.
Jamie Van Fleet is from Williamsport, isn't that correct?
Yes, he is. Yes.
And the big interception was done by a great story from Loyal Sock High School.
Jacob Fignano.
Yeah. He stuck with the program, never gave up, and there he is making the biggest interception of the season, perhaps.
Yeah. You know, so he did all of that, which is, you know, I mean, it's great. Jake's a great kid. I mean, he thought he was going to win the job in the preseason. Turned out he couldn't win the job in the preseason because he had a hamstring problem. He missed almost 3 weeks. I remember standing with him so many times, how frustrated he was about the fact that he couldn't get out there, couldn't play, couldn't be a part of what was going on. And it was frustrating the daylights out of him. And you know, to his credit, he bounced back, got himself into the rotation, and then when they needed him at the biggest moment, he made big plays.
Yes.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to purdyinsurance.com. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Bob, you must be so sick of watching Kevin dance.
Kevin is just so down.
Graceful. That's the word
graceful.
You're looking for.
Yeah. That's one of the words.
Well, the word they used was gyrating.
Yes, he's so upset about the Steelers and the turnovers that his normal dancing bear routine is not in full swing as one might think it would be. But, yeah, he's taking this Steeler loss because he predicts that this could be the death knell for their playoff hopes.
This is it. You don't win this game, it's going to be very, very difficult in the AFC to get a wild card.
Okay.
And I'm telling you right now, I will take a 33% Ben Roethlisberger right now over anybody with what I saw in the last 2 weeks offensively. It was offensive, what I saw offensively in the last 2 weeks.
Steve, do you think anybody actually cares about Monday Night Football tonight? Is there anybody on the planet, maybe the solar system, that really cares about the Eagles and whoever the other team that shows up?
Carolina. I don't know. The Eagles are 4 points away from being 0-4.
Absolutely.
They are. I'm being, yeah. That was a fact. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Final half hour, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones, Kevin Herr, Bob Buehner with you on this Monday afternoon, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to purdyinsurance.com. The Lenape Solar Hotline is open to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. You can go to lenapesolar.com. And, of course, the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. But Bob, I can't wait to give you a tour of this place. You're going to love it.
I'm looking forward.
Oh, absolutely. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
The bet we have is who gets to the chateau first, Kevin or Sarah and me?
Oh, there's not even a question there. I had an opportunity. I was even in the general vicinity, and the invitation wasn't even extended.
Huh?
Exactly. Thank you.
I'm confused.
Yeah, sure you are.
Ken in Milton.
Ken,
hola, buenos dias, and welcome.
Ah, sayonara.
No, Ken, that's at the end of the call.
Boy, you guys, oh, yeah, I always get that part wrong. I don't understand. Boy,
remember,
you guys lucky
aloha
I didn't catch you earlier.
Aloha means goodbye.
Yeah, it depends on what side of the way you're on. Anyway, that being said, first of all, Where's Kevin at? Kevin, did I not tell you back in August that the two last teams in the area that would still be playing would be Danville and Sealand School? Did I not say that?
I believe you said that, and I did debate slightly with you.
Well, you're actually very flattering because I didn't say anything like that.
I was giving you the benefit of the doubt, my friend, but hey, you know, now that you left it out.
Well, what do you... Actually, I was dead wrong on just about everything I picked for the playoffs, so I'm just going to let the teams play it out and enjoy what I see on the news. I will be watching the Eagles game with bated breath tonight because anytime I get a chance to watch a Philadelphia team lose, and it's a fairly sure thing, I'm all about it. I'll be there with my chips and salsa and curled up on the couch enjoying every minute of it. Steve, I got to ask you something. I'm a little disappointed.
I'm laughing, Ken, because I just got an email from Chris Wheeler. So sorry.
Do tell.
Kevin hates what you hate my phone. You hate my emails. I know you hate the whole thing, don't you?
I just got an email from President Obama. Okay, I hope you're all right with great. That one. Unfortunately, it was emailed to everybody in the country. So
probably had to go with taxes. All right, Ken, you want to ask me something? Go ahead.
Yeah, I got to tell you something. Now, first of all, state football, great job. Really excited about it. It was a great game Saturday, but I think I'm going to have to find a new wrestling team. I don't understand what's going on up there. They've wrestled two dual meets and no shutouts yet. I mean, come on. What's the problem?
It's kind of a disgrace, isn't it?
Are you kidding me? I mean, I'd hate to be the kid, and God love them, you know, I would have loved to have wrestled in college, but I got about as far as the outside of the weight room, and I would have hated to have been the kid that has to walk into the locker room, the one kid that gets beat when they go out and pound on everybody like that. It just, you know, I feel bad for him. I really do. But that being said, don't get beat anymore.
I remember I did the endowment dinner. And I had to introduce all the coaches that were there. And Cale was there. And I'm trying to think. I think we did this in alphabetical order. So it's S for Sanderson is a little further down. I think it ended up being he was the last one there. So I'm going through, and I'm talking about Missy Doherty, Women's Across. They made it to the NCAAs. Boom, talk about that. You know, I mentioned Patrick Chambers, what they accomplished last year. You know, Tim Frazier was first team all Big Ten in a tough conference. Russ Rose, I said, look, pound for pound, this is the best coach in any sport in the country. Then I looked over, I says, and joining us from wrestling, Gail Sanderson, right? Dark Fighter, right? Of course, everybody laughed. And I looked over. I said, I'm sorry. I know you work hard, but damn, you set the bar so high and you make it look so easy.
Well, yeah, how do you introduce the guy? I mean, you know, what do you prelude that with?
You know what? There are different ways of doing it, okay? One time at a banquet, I'm going through the roster, right? And I said, sitting to my right, Sue Paterno. I said, to Sue's left is her husband, Joe. I mean, he laughed so hard because, you know, it's just, you know.
Well, I don't know.
It was meant to be funny, so.
I don't know if I don't think I'm going to mention any names. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but like I said, what are they going to do? Take my birthday? Where they can have it? I'm too old anyway. but a friend of mine had the opportunity to visit with Coach Sanderson as he was in his home speaking with a member of his family. he had told me that when this guy comes in and sits down, there's this aura around him, and then he starts to talk. And you just can't help, like, on every word that he says, and he comes off with this very positive, very, very assertive, very, you know, just this demeanor that you want to be a part of. And by the time he left the room, he was feeling like he could run up to the steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum like Rocky did, you know.
And sure.
He was very, very impressed with the kind of person that he was, and he's convinced that the success is no accident, obviously. I do have a wrestling question, and again,
I'll
I don't
say
know
this, though. You want to know what the big part of the success is Kale doesn't have an ego, okay? Despite everything he's accomplished, he has no ego. He lets his assistants coach, right? I mean, he lets them do that, and that's a big part of Penn State's success.
It's just, it almost seems unfair. Now, I'll take it. Make no mistake,
well,
I'll
look,
take
when
it.
Look, he goes into recruit. He kind of selects, really. He goes into a living room. He sits down with the kid and the parents, and they look at him and they go, it's Gail Sanderson. I mean, at that point, you're done. Yeah.
I just want him to say that he's going to sit in my living room. He wouldn't even have to sit in my living room, though. Just say that you might.
I'm gonna pull one on him. I'm going to go sit in his living room, see how good he is. I'm going to hear what he has to say. I do have a question, though, Steve, and I don't know if you can comment on it or not. And I'll cut it. It's always fun talking to you guys. The youngest, well, not the youngest, they're twins, but the old boy, he's in a boot, I understand. It's nice to be in a situation where you don't have to rush an injury. I mean, and obviously they don't. Is it possible he'll be ready to wrestle by the Southern Scuffle, or do you know anything about that? Can you comment on that?
I'm not sure. I don't have the answer to that right now. I'll ask somebody and ask them, somebody who knows, because I don't know the answer.
Again, there wasn't a real
reason
to be called.
It's a good question, Ken. I just don't. You know, I mean, one thing, Ken, it's like, for example, I'll tell you if I don't know the answer. That way, when I do give people an answer, they know I know. That's the best part. So if I don't know the answer, I'll ask somebody and I'll find it out for you. How about that?
That's fantastic. Thanks. Well, that's why you're in broadcasting and respected me. I lie right to their face. I'll make believe that I know the answer. And if they find out later, I'll deny it. What are you going to do?
Oh, boy.
Hey, fellas, have a great day, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Ken. 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565, and the Lenape Be Solar Hotline. Eagles, Panthers tonight. Steelers, 8 takeaways. Excuse me, 8 turnovers yesterday in a brilliant all-around performance. Kevin is already, Kevin is panicking.
Well, listen, I deserve to be panicking after that.
I think panicking was Saturday. Monday, it's more like despair.
It was the most painful football game I have ever watched.
Was the Steeler game?
Yes.
Okay.
Steve,
I did a 6-4 game once.
Oh,
that would not have been as painful as watching what I watched.
Okay, did I tell you the World Series story? I've told the World Series story, haven't I?
I don't know. You have a lot of great stories.
Yeah.
I don't know them all.
Okay, I'll tell you a World Series story, and I'll tell you a travel story. I don't think I've ever told this travel story before either.
I love story time with Steve.
Gather around, kids. Here we go. One time, Uncle Steve. No. All right. Friend of mine, Patrick Scholl, calls me up. In fact, no, he stopped me after church. Stops me after church. Okay, on a Saturday night, and the Red Sox are about to play the third game of the American League Championship Series with the Yankees down 2-0. And he says, Steve, I've got 2 tickets, 2 freebies to the World Series. He said, what game can you go to? I said, I get to pick a game? He says, yeah, you pick the game. I said, that's incredible. I said, okay. I said, basically, I said, the only game I can really go to is game 2 in Boston. He goes, great. They beat the Yankees, you're in. I said, okay. So I go home that night and watch the Yankees win 19-8. And now the Red Sox are down 3-0. And I'm thinking, well, gee, wasn't that a neato dream? Right. Well, of course, we all know the rest of the story. The Red Sox come back, win 4 straight. So on that Saturday is the day of the infamous 6-4 Penn State-Iowa game, where Penn State scored a safety early. Iowa deliberately took a safety, not, you know, thinking that Penn State couldn't get in field goal range to win it. Okay? You know, I mean, free kick the whole thing. So it's 6-4. So the next day I get up, get out of State College, pick up Patrick, get out of State College about 9:30, drive to Boston, get to the Prudential Center where I always park. I always park at the Peace Center. Okay? And I get there by 5:00. Now it's a misty cold evening in Boston for game 2. They won game 1 on opening night, 11-9. Mark Bellhorn hit a 2-run homer in the 8th inning to win it. So it's a cold, misty night, 47 degrees. And my wife says, now look, wear layers. I'm like, all right, so okay, I do what I'm told. I'm wearing layers. And the one thing that fits over these layers is this Penn State basketball jacket I have. So we get into Fenway Park, right? You know, and we're seated 5 rows off the field at the pesky pole in right field. I mean, we are in great primo shape. Right? So, and I know Dave's waiting. It's okay. Dave will wait. So the usher is wiping off the seat because there's a little bit of mist. Okay? And he looks at me, and he sees the jacket. He goes, 6-4. My God, that game was awful. I looked at the guy and said, what? He says, that football game yesterday was terrible. I looked at him. I said, well, in typical announcer speak, I said, well, it didn't go very well. He goes, and my friend, Scholl, looks at him and says, imagine announcing the game. He goes, who did that? He says, he did. He goes, I'm so sorry. And I looked at him and said, don't be. I got paid. They gave me paper. Dave in Sunbury, your patience is about to be rewarded. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
How's Dave?
Okay, how's Steve?
Steve's doing well, thanks.
Well, how's Bob doing?
Great, Dave.
Well, that guy that called in about that, said about the wrestling that they... you don't know what to happen because there's no shutouts?
Yeah.
Well, Cal already took care of that. The kid will be there next year.
Well, I can't comment on that. So.
Well, the kid's from Benton. He used to live down, was originally from Lime Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great one, whose name we will not speak.
Yeah, you can't speak it as well as, you know. But once he signs on the dotted line, then things will be copacetic, right?
Well said, Dave. Well said. Love copacetic.
Well, and also I just wanted to say, Steve, about that word that blurred out of Bill O'Brien when he tended to say something else.
Yeah.
Did you hear what that whole spiel was about?
I watched it. And you know what? To be honest with you, Dave, it looked to me like he knew what he was saying, but in terms of fighters... But I think he was so cold, he kind of slurred it, and it came out and sounded wrong.
I will tell you right now, I took it frame by frame, I read his lips, it did not form the word that people think he said.
Right, no, it doesn't. He was saying fighters, but I think he was so cold, he just, like, he had one of those hiccups. I mean, seriously. I mean, that's, well, I mean, where you're like, I'm outside.
Well, Steve, what I had is, I had a bout of pneumonia one time when I was outside and cold.
Yeah,
and the word came out totally different than what I was trying to say.
Right.
And I understand what that was all about.
Yeah, you spent about 5 hours in the cold. Guess what? I mean, you know, Fitzy, okay? Fitzy, who spends a lot of time with his shirt off.
Yeah.
He pulled the shirt off at Purdue, right?
Yeah.
You know, and the players went nuts. And it was a lousy day at Purdue. Mm-hmm. It was lousy, okay? And I talked to Wayne Sebastianelli later, and he said it was so funny listening to Fitzy talk about 2 hours later. And he said, we're all making fun of him because he was so cold. He was like,
It reminded me of watching Christmas Vacation, where Chevy Chase is about ready to cut down the tree, and the words don't come out.
Right.
That's what it reminded me of.
That's what Bill did. He actually did not say the word that people think. It just sounded like he did because it was
Okay. Hey, Tim Geithner.
Yeah, he made the show today.
I was just wondering, is that Al Capone or Tim Geithner? Who are you going to be with the Steelers with that 8 turnovers?
Alabama.
Okay. We need to take a break, Dave. We'll come back with more. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. I'll be rejoined by Dillinger and Capone in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
At RAM, we don't think it's the calendar's job to say when the work is done. We think it's up to the truck. So while the other guys are shutting down for the holidays, RAM trucks are firing up their available 390-horsepower Hemi V8 and Cummins turbo diesel engines and working overtime. This is a great time to get a great deal on a great truck right now at the Ram Big Finish event.
Now during the Big Finish event, finance and get $6,700 in total values, plus we'll match your down payment up to $1,000 on the 2012 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab. Values include cash allowances and $3,200 Bighorn package discount. Financing for well-qualified buyers through Ally. Cash allowance cannot be used toward matching down payment amount. Package values based on combined value of individual package items. Residency restrictions apply. Offer ends 12/3. Cummins is a registered trademark of Cummins, Inc. Ram and Hemi are registered trademarks of Chrysler Group, LLC.
Okay. So Wisconsin contemplated, by the way, going for 2 on their touchdown.
In hindsight is everything, isn't it?
Well, but the honest way, you know why he didn't? Because when Jordan Hill killed the third down play and threw ball for a loss, their prime 2-point play is what they used on fourth down. So he didn't really feel comfortable going to another play, so he said, let's just kick it.
What's the rule, go for 2 at home or go for 2 on the road? I always get confused.
There's no rule.
All right. It's what the saying then.
Now, did Penn State
I've never heard a saying it comes to going for 2.
Did Penn State have its choice of which end of the stadium?
It did.
Why didn't and this is my question then, and I said it to my buddy that I was sitting with, another district attorney who's a wise person just because of that position, and I said, why aren't they choosing the student end to force Wisconsin to kick into the student end if they get
wind?
Okay.
They won the wind at the back.
But, you know, it's really funny, Steve. That wind was very tricky Saturday because it looked...
Right.
When you're looking at the flags above both goalposts, it looks like the wind was swirling on the field.
It does swirl, but at that end, you just feel it's a little more controlled than at the other. It's more of a swirl at the other end because the wind comes usually in from the north, usually.
Yes.
And swirls back, and what happens, boom, it kind of kicks back and goes the other way. And that's because it used to be a very true thing. For example, if they had not redone the south end,
mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you they would have been playing football going toward the south end of the stadium on Saturday because the wind always has blown at Beaver Stadium from the north to the south. Always. But now what happens is it comes in, hits that thing down low because that's like a funnel where that upper deck is.
Mm-hmm.
Funnels in, it hits things, swirls, and then kicks back. So they just decided to go. They felt the wind was a little more stable in that direction.
I thought the old, you know, advantage of being home with the student section making noise, disrupting Wisconsin. That's what I was thinking. But,
yeah,
hey,
but
Bill O'Brien got it right.
But you're going into it, not away from it. If you're going away from it, it has more of an effect because they're right behind you where people can hear you. When you're going into it, it's not so much, you know, it's actually when you're going, when they're at your back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, started the 25, it had to do with wind. And that was the part they felt comfortable about.
I think that old saying was go for the win on the road, go for the win at home and go for the tie on the road.
You think about basketball.
Okay. We're in basketball season two, Kevin.
And baseball. You think about baseball and basketball right now is what you're thinking about. There is no adage in football.
I don't know.
Darn it.
All right. I thought it was in football as well.
Kevin is scribbling that off his list right now.
That's another baseball, one of the myths that Steve just ruined.
In baseball, you play for a tie at home. You know, you play for the win, okay?
Maybe that's right. Maybe you're right.
Right.
You're
right. Maybe.
Yeah.
Not maybe. Hey, listen, all I know is in the booth, Coach Hort has the coach's card to go for two. And I still have to refer to that after 16 years of being with him.
No,
I still can't remember.
I don't look at a card. I think the card's irrelevant. It's what the feel is at the moment. Mm-hmm. Penn State, for example, goes up 19-14. You need to go for two there. You need to, because you need to make it a 7-point game. Because making it a 6-point game is just as safe and as relevant as a 5-point game. Okay. Same thing. They score a touchdown, you're still going to be in front.
You know,
okay?
This has been what a great weekend for sports. Danville, Selins Grove, big winners. They're on to the playoffs. You know, Penn State, Friday, Saturday night, and the soccer team as well. You know, it's just been across the board just a lot of fun.
Right. And we're going to have, when the soccer team gets down to San Diego, we're going to have one of the players on later in the week. We're also going to have Kristen Carpenter from the women's volleyball team on the show later in the week. Tomorrow, Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle, Tony Mancuso from Penn State. Wednesday, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.
Wow, what a lineup. And I will be teaching at Westminster Young Minds in the area of criminal prosecution.
Fabulous. What time's that?
Well, if you get to the 11 o'clock lecture, I'll give you a front row seat.
Oh, I have questions. And I have questions.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
When are you coming back? I need you back over.
I'll be back on Friday, Steve.
Good. Look forward to it, Bobby B.
All right, my good friend.
Yep, great to see you, Kevo. Great to have you back home again where you belong.
I enjoy every minute of it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, talk to everybody tomorrow. Brought to you today by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle tomorrow. Also tomorrow, Tony Mancuso.